It's a pleasure to me to be able to introduce a very old friend of the gospel. We've been in many places together, but also many places separate. And yet our love and our devotion to our Lord and Savior is the same. I remember Jim's Hugh's grandfather, James E., who to me, as I was weaned, was Uncle Jim for many, many years. And then with my marriage to Hugh's cousin, he became Granddad Yates. And I've always had affection for all of the family. And it gives me great pleasure to introduce Brother Hugh and ask for your careful attention and prayerful in remembrance.
Good evening. He talked about the family of Christ and how it ties together, and it certainly does. The gospel of Christ ties together. When we came last night, we heard Brother Adam talk on endurance and forgiveness and how important they were. And that endurance and forgiveness is part of the gospel of Christ. And it's very essential in our life. The neat part about the gospel of Christ is it doesn't change. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever, he says. Not even a shadow of changing. So that you and I can know him, find him, believe him, and know what's essential for our soul's welfare. And to recognize that he has provided a way for us to enter into his kingdom and to live with him and his Father. And how important it is for us to endure to the end in the gospel of Christ, in the proper things. We can endure in things that is not for the welfare of the soul. That's why we gather together here, to encourage one another to continue to reach out and to follow after the Lord, to seek the path that Christ had trod, to recognize the signs of blazes on the trees and the stack of rocks that directs your footsteps in the path to eternal life. How important those things are. You know, we had Brother Keith preach this morning. He preached on the fact that we should love the Lord thy God with all our might, mind, and strength. And of the Ten Commandments, of those things that we need to apply to our life to walk properly with him. We had Brother Mike talk, and he talked on the power of Satan and how people that are directed by the power of Satan are willing to overrule and overrun the laws of God and the laws of the land, or whatever the case may be, to accomplish what they want, not what God wants, but to accomplish the things that they want to do. And that's what the Lord said, that he's the father of lies. He says he's a liar and he's the father of them. And indeed, Satan is. He's the father of lies. We had Dick speak to us. And he talked about how important it is for us to know the law. How important it is for us to apply those things and to not go to the riches of the world. To not put our trust and our faith in something that of no value. You know, when you think about it, I know there's those in this room that have gone to funerals. And, you know, I've preached funerals for little infants and for children, middle-aged people and teenagers and old people. And I had the first time to see him take anything with him. The earthly things are left behind for people to hassle over and try to separate. That's the purpose. That's why Christ instructs us to put the things that we do in our life, the spiritual things, to put it in our heavenly storehouse where thieves can't break in and steal, where moths don't eat, and it doesn't corrupt, and it don't rust, but where it will be there of value when the day comes that he calls you home and you're no longer then having to worry about that period of time of probation that you might live your life properly and be prepared to meet the Lord, because that's what happens when you go away. You meet the Lord. And so we have a lot of things you have already heard and have already been fed. Of the things you've been fed, of the food that sustains the physical body, and you've been fed of the living manna that sustains the spirit. And of course, that's the most important. Of that living manna that sustains and strengthens the spirit, encourages that spirit, that gives it hope, gives it a desire to walk justly as God would have us to walk, that we have that opportunity to go and to live with him. And so that's what we want to talk about tonight. And you know, every time I hear something and see something and hear the brothers and hear the sisters and hear the little ones sing, it always brings back a lot of memories. A lot of memories. And the little children sang there tonight. I sat and listened to them and enjoyed it. I thought about when my brother Buzz and I was blessing a little child in Africa. And I was privileged to see the Spirit come down and hold it, verifying of the love that he has for his little children and for the love that he has for us and the desires that he has for us, that we might be able to overcome and endure to the end. We sang a familiar song to a brother tonight, Redeemer of Israel. That was one of the favorite songs of a brother that lived in Canada, Apostle Jordan. He loved that song, the Redeemer of Israel. And he had the greatest desire to live long enough to see it redeemed. He didn't, like some of us may not either, but it will be because the scripture says so. So you know, there's so much that we have to fall back on to edify us and to strengthen us and to give us the vision that would cause the scales to fall from our eyes, that we might see through the inspiration and the power of the Holy Spirit the truths and the beauties of the gospel of Christ and the life that comes to those who endeavor to put them to use in their life. how important they are. And that's some of the things I'd like to talk on this evening and begin to visit with you some about them. As we were singing that song and I was thinking about Brother Jordan, I was going up into Canada to meet the brother. I was going to go into the field with him full time. And before I got there, he'd passed away. He was an elderly brother. But boy, he was a joy to be with. Very spiritual man. And he loved the gospel. He was in his 90s. People say, he couldn't remember what he used to. He used to be real sharp on different votings and things in Canada and everything, and who to vote for and the problems they were having and everything, and got to where he was having a hard time remembering those things, but he remembered the gospel. When you studied with him, he'd ask you to read something. You go to read it, and if you made a mistake, he'd say, "That's not what that says. Go back and read that again." And, he wasn't even looking at it, but he knew. And, that's what I hope that I can bring to you tonight, the desire that when anything comes up in your life, the first thing you want to do is to go to the Lord. The first thing you think is what he would have us to think and to direct us. Not that of a natural man and their thoughts, because they never have been equal with that. That's why he says that the wisdom of men is foolishness in the Lord. But that whatever situation that confronts us in our life, he knows what they are, and he knows how to take care of them. And he knows how to tell us to overcome them. Or he knows how to tell us if we don't overcome them that we can continue. The Apostle Paul preached and everything, and he had a physical problem, and he told people, take a little wine for your stomach and one thing or another. He was having physical problems, but he was still out preaching the gospel because he knew that it was true. And he had a witness of those things that has to do with the welfare of our soul. And that's a beautiful part of our life, your life and mine, because we have a heritage. We've been called. Each one of us has been called to bear witness to Christ. Each one of us has been called to have a light with such candle power that Satan couldn't resist it or take it and stop it. But it would glorify our Father in heaven. That's our calling. Our calling is to live among those of the world in such a way that they see that to live in Christ is the happiness and the hope that comes. And I've been blessed. Louise and I, we've been married over 54 years. And when the Lord is the Lord of your house, you've had more fun accidentally than most people do on purpose. And it's a joy. And it's a peace. And you find that whatever comes through the Lord and through prayer, you can overcome it and still stand with a joy and a happiness, knowing that he has blessed us and has lifted us up. And so that's to each one of us tonight. We haven't met here needing to be weak, miserable. We have a right to meet here with a joy and a happiness in the Lord, knowing that he is constantly there and he's only a prayer away, a desire of our hearts, a prayer away. And you know, just like just like our little children, we may not, when we ask the Lord for something, he might not say yes. Maybe it wouldn't be good for us. That's why we pray, you know, that nevertheless let thy will be done, because he knows what goes on in the future. He knows what's going to confront us. And so sometimes because of us and because he loves us, just like sometimes because we love our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, we tell them no. And there's time that the Lord would like to tell you and I no, because he can see that perhaps the way we're going, that it would destroy us or cause us great strife and problems. Because we just go along and we go by the wisdom of a man rather than by the wisdom of the one that created the man and breathed the breath of life in him. And so tonight I want to read a few scriptures and read a few thoughts as we go along. And I want you to follow me as much as you can, possibly. And, you know, when Louise and I was in Alaska, I was going to take charge of a sacrament service the next morning. And I was trying to decide what is it that I should bring to them? What is it that I should bring out to them, and one thing and another, and I prayed about it, and went to bed, and I woke up in the middle of the night hearing a song we sing quite often, and I listened to it, and I went back to sleep, and I woke up again, and the song was singing again, and the words began to stand out. And it's a familiar song to you and I. It says, "Come ye apart." That means to separate yourself. I'm going to read the first verse. It says, "Come ye apart. It is the Lord who calls us. And oh, what tenderness is in his tone. He bids us leave the busy world behind us and draw apart a while with him alone." You know, I thought about that and how tender his voice is as he calls us. And I thought about the time when he came to the people upon this land and his voice penetrated their heart and everything, but it was so gentle. So kind. That's the voice of the Lord as he calls these children. That's what it's like. It's that tender tone that's in his voice as he speaks. The presence of the Spirit as it moves your heart and causes joy and happiness. That's what it is. And you know, that's something that is essential for us, is to come apart. If we don't come apart, it don't do any good to endure, does it? That's why the scriptures, it was read over there in the 24th chapter of Matthew, it was read that we have to endure to the end. That's something that we have to tie to and hold fast to and continue in. It's not something that we give a hit and a lick at it for a day or two and then go on about our business. And it's not something that we say, "Well, yeah, I'll take that up next month and I'll hold it there for a while." And then, you know, "Well, no, I haven't done anything for 6 weeks. You know, it's something, it's the Lord. It's our Lord, the Savior, that says that we're to take up our cross every month. That's not what it says, is it? It says we're to take up our cross daily. and come and follow me. Daily. It's a daily effort. We have a Lord that gave his life that we might have life. He laid down his life for us. And we have an enemy to our soul that has a desire to destroy us, to lead us away, to take us in a position where we wouldn't be worthy to meet the Lord or worthy to have him say, "Enter ye in, my faithful servant." The scripture says he's an enemy to all righteousness. Are you righteous? Are you trying to be? Are we trying to be righteous? Are we trying to live the life that we're supposed to live? You have an enemy, and he wants to destroy your soul. That's what he wants to do. He wants to do just exactly the opposite. I want you to turn over those that you can follow me along in the 22nd chapter of Luke. And I want you to remember that he doesn't change. There in the 22nd chapter of Luke, I want to read the 31st and the 32nd verses. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you." Wow. "That he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." What do you think, folks? You think, brothers and sisters, you think that that individual that has a desire to destroy Peter, you think he has a desire to destroy you? Or do you think that as you came today or whenever you come that you're exempt of that power, that he don't care about that? He's too busy working someplace else? Or do you think that he has a desire to destroy the one that's a pain in his side, and that's those who have a desire to live the gospel of Christ? That is the ones that have a desire to follow after him, even in our imperfections and our desires that we would try to walk and repent and do the things that the Lord would have us to do. We're a pain in his side because he's afraid that you might rub off on somebody else and they might choose to follow the Lord. That's what he's afraid of. That you just might, you never know what's going on. And, some people say, "Well, that was Peter." You reckon Peter's soul was precious to the Lord? Do you reckon yours is? Don't you think that he'd say, "I have prayed for you"? Yes. Don't you know that he knows that Satan desires to have you, that he might sift you as wheat, that he might destroy you? He's the enemy of all righteousness. I'd like to have you turn over to page 651 in your Book of Mormon. This is the Lord speaking to them. And he was talking to the disciples that he'd chosen on this land. And he tells them, that when you're in the congregation, that you're to pray. That means audibly, not silently. He says that you're to pray. He says, "If I prayed among you, you saw me pray, you heard my prayers. That you're to pray so they can hear you pray, so they know what to pray for." Parents, you teach your children what to pray for. You teach them to pray. You teach them to put their trust in God. You teach them those things. If you're not teaching them that, you better get started. Because it's essential that they learn to talk to the Lord and to visit with Him and know that He hears the prayers of His children. That's important. Very important. And it starts in the parents and aunts and uncles and grandparents. It starts into those who believe and choose to help and to call out and endeavor to teach people that they can hold the hand of the Lord and be directed, and especially the youth. Because a lot of this old world has lost the faith in the Son of God. And He's the only one that has the power to save us. You know, there's no game. You know, somebody mentioned a TV. Somebody mentioned some kind of game, football game, basketball games and everything. None of those things can save you. The only one that has the power to save you is the one that's going to judge us. And that's Jesus Christ the Lord. He's the only one that has the power to save us. The other things of the world can't save us. Oh, maybe some of the things have a tendency to lead us and direct us to the Lord. But it's the Lord that does the saving. And that's something that we have to keep in mind all the time. That we're dependent upon Him. And of ourselves, we can do nothing. There's nobody that can stand up and say, I'm going to save myself. I know what I'm going to do. I'm okay. They can't save themselves at all unless they live according to the standard that Jesus Christ has given us. That's the only way you can save yourself, because you're dependent upon the Lord. And if you want to save yourself, it's to put the world out of your life and live the type of life that Christ has called for. That's the way you save yourself. Oh, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of beauty, and there's a lot of things in this old world that's really nice and really neat. I want to read you a poem that Ed wrote, my son that passed away. He says, I've walked across the mountain high, the valleys low, neath clear blue sky. I've seen the colt, heard babies cry. I've seen the storm and sunset sky. I've walked through desert. I've seen the sea. Tasted the stream, sweet and clean. And always felt the Savior near. Through happiness and through pain, I call on Him through Jesus' name. All things He's made and placed them here for those whose eyes can see them clear. I thank my God who sits on high that He remembered such as I. Not only life and beauty given, but for His Son sent down from heaven. Forgive my sinful life, I pray. And please, my Lord, give strength today. I thank Thee, Lord, for sun and rain, for wife I had and children gain, for the family I was born into, and for this land given me by You. May lives I touch be touched for good, that through my walk they might see the Lord. Thank You, Father, for my life. You know, we have to know that our life affects and touches other things and other people wherever we're at. What they see, what kind of action they see, if there's something that comes up, if you're mad and throwing a fit, or if you're using, like we heard, the profanity or those things that you have no right in the Lord's name in vain, whatever the case may be, they see it. And they judge it, whether it's of the Lord or whether it isn't of the Lord. That's why the scriptures tell us that we avoid the very appearance of evil, that we don't have anything to do with it. Because if we're tangled up with it and everything, it leaves this mark. It leaves this mark with the people around us, and many times it leaves this mark on us. And it's important that we know that each day we're to live an example that glorifies our Father which is in heaven. That's the important part. Now, I asked you to turn over on page 651 in the Book of Mormon, and I'm going to start in the 49th verse there. He says, I am the light. That's the 8th chapter of the 3rd Book of Nephi. 49th verse. He says, behold, I am the light. I have set an example for you. Christ is the light, and he set the example for us so that we would know how to walk. So we would recognize the path that he tells us. You know, there's a lot of paths. Those of you that hunt and get out in the country and go over different places, you can go in there and, boy, paths go all over everywhere, up the canyons, down the canyons, or across the flats, or whatever the case may be. But when it comes to the kingdom of heaven, there's one path. There's one path that was created by the Son of God that you and I have to walk. One path. There isn't a thousand. If you'll take notice in the vision that they had in the beginning of the Book of Mormon, there was a rod of iron, not rods of iron that went everywhere. There was a rod of iron, the Word of God, that went to the tree of life. Not many. One. Just like when it talked about his wife, the church, it was wife, singular, not wives. It was wife. It was his wife. It was those who was willing to endeavor to obey the Son of God. That's who it was. And that's who it is today. And that's who the scripture says that he's going to come to. He's going to come to his wife, singular. And you know, it's something for us to think about, because he said that she has made herself ready. That's a responsibility for you and I, is to make ourselves ready. That when he comes, that the garment that we wear, he says, was the garment of righteousness. That's the responsibility that we have, is to make ourselves ready. This is the period of time of our probation, to make ourselves ready, so that, like I've said lots of times, if he calls us home, we're ready to go. We don't dare say, well, I'll think about that next year, or, you know, I got things I want to do, you know, maybe a couple years or so, or when I get out of my teenage run and everything, why, I'm going to do something different. I've seen a lot of them that didn't make it through the teenage. And so it's important that we live each day, we take our cross each day to follow him. It's important. So if it happens to be that day he decides he's going to call you home, you're ready to go. You're ready to go. You're ready to meet your Lord with a smile on your face and a joy. Not fearful, but with a joy and with a happiness. I want to read further. 50th verse. And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words unto his disciples, he turned again unto the multitude and said unto them, Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye enter into temptation. And how true that is, that you have to watch and pray always, that he'll help you, that you'll enter into temptation. We know what the Book of Mormon tells us. The Book of Mormon tells us that we're to pray. And he says the devil teaches us not to pray. We have to watch. We have to communicate. What happens with your children if you don't communicate with them, or your wife, or your husband, or your friends, or your grandma? There's a communication that's necessary. There's a communication that's necessary from God to man and from man to God. You and I have to learn to communicate with our God, to visit with him, to talk to him. And not only talk, but to listen, to unstop our ears that we might hear our direction so that we're sure that where we walk is the proper way. That's why it says that we shouldn't do anything save in the first place we ask the Lord that he would direct it so that it would be according to his will, not ours. How important these things are. That's why we come together. That's why we come to reunions, to endeavor to strengthen one another and to strengthen ourselves and to allow the Spirit of God to touch us and to move us and revive us, to strengthen us, so that when we leave here, we're better prepared to challenge Satan. We're better prepared to challenge the world. We're better prepared, like the Lord says, though we live in the world, we're not of the world. Because we have chosen who our master is. It isn't the wisdom of men. It isn't the direction of the world. It's the direction of the one that created the man and created the world that we have to hold to. And know as long as we hold to that and stand upon that rock, we're safe. And how important that is. 51st verse. For Satan desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Therefore ye must always pray unto the Father in my name, this is the Lord speaking, and whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you. Take notice that he's talking to the people now, not just Peter. He's talking to the people. And if he was here tonight, if he was talking to you and I, he'd say, Satan desires to have you and to sift you as wheat. But that's only part of it. Because he would say, I pray for you. And he does. He's our mediator. He's our advocate. To pray for us in our needs. He's the one that helps us and helps us to overcome and helps us to be alert. He's the one that gives us discernment that says, look out. And you know, you have that all the time, you know, and he does that. And we have to be alert and awake, you know, because that happens in your life. I know when I was in the service, I went to go places and the Spirit would tell me, don't go. He looks out after you because you're his. You're his child, and he loves you. And you know, no one can take your place. There's a room of individuals here tonight, but each one of you have your separate place with the Lord. And each one of you is precious to the Lord. And His desire, He gave His life for us. He gave His life for us. And so when we think about it, you're not exempt and you're not away from there. You're not exempt from Satan. And neither are you exempt from the love of Christ. And His desire to hold you and to lead you and to direct you and to protect you from the power of the evil one. We're not exempt from that. Because that's His desire. That's His desire. That's why He has caused the Word to be preserved. So that we would know Him and know His Father and know what's required of us. That we would know that we could call upon Him and depend upon Him. If the things which we ask would be right. And if we ask Him in faith believing. Now I know we can't override His will. Doesn't make any difference what it's about. We can't override His will. But we don't want to override His will, because whatever His will is for us, it's the very best. Because He wants to save us. He wants us to come and live with Him and His Father, which is in heaven. That's His desire. That's what it's all about. You know, I'd like to turn over. I thought that my brother Adam was going to take it all out, but I'd like to turn over into the 1 John, the second chapter of 1 John. There in the second chapter of 1 John, I'm going to start in the first verse. And He's talking to us. He refers to us as His little children. He says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." We have an advocate. You know, what do we mean by an advocate? Representative. A representative. An advocate, one that pleases our cause. He pleads our cause. Can you ask for somebody else other than the Lord Jesus Christ to plead your cause? You think there's a better lawyer somewhere else? No. It says He pleads the cause of another. One that pleads cause of another before a tribunal or a court or whatever the case may be. One that prays for another is an advocate. He's an advocate. He has a desire. Your welfare He's worried about. My welfare He's worried about. I'd like to go to the second verse. He says, and He is the propitiation of our sins. And not of ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. That means the atonement. That's what that means. That's the atonement. That He has that power, that the reconciliation between God and man, accomplished by Jesus Christ our Lord. That He's worried about you and I. He's worried about the things that we do. He's worried that Satan might come in. He knows that Satan, we read that Satan knows that our day's short, and so he's really going to after just the best he can. And you know, we've already been warned. He's a father of lies. We've already been warned that, you know, he's He's always causing problems. He's never slowing down. And even, you know, the Bible says he stands before you in the light of an angel, but the Book of Mormon says he stands before you nigh unto a light of an angel, because Satan can't have the light of the heavenly messenger. No. He can't hold that light. He was cast out of heaven. He can't hold the light of a heavenly messenger. He can hold one nigh unto the light of the heavenly messenger. And if we're not being awake and alert and we're not praying for that discernment, yeah, you know, the scriptures tell us to try the spirits. It's important. It's important that we read the scriptures and understand them and know that we need to try the spirits, or we can be led all over the place. We can go down to a palm reader and he can read her palm, or she can read her palm and say, oh, you know, you had a friend that you used to go to high school with and their name was Mary, and you know, you guys used to this and that. How did they know? How did she know? Do you think that Satan don't know you and hasn't known you from your birth? Do you think that he don't know your life? Don't you know that Satan tells his individual, that's what the Bible says, that Satan has his apostles. He has his ministry. He has those endeavor to deceive you and I, to sift us as wheat. Satan has them. And a third of the host of angels was cast down with him. So we're not just coming against old Lucifer himself. We're coming against a third of the host of angels. How many is that? Do you know? I don't either, but I know one thing is too many. Too many for those that yield to them, or those that aren't strong enough to resist against them. And the scriptures also tells us that we can walk in such a way that Satan would flee before us. Are we walking that way? Are we walking in a manner that Satan decided, you know, that he couldn't deceive us? Are we walking that way? Or is he still thinking, you know, there's an edge there that I think I can just sort of slip in there and cause a lot of problem? That's the way he works. But thanks be to God, we have a son, even Jesus Christ, who is our advocate, who is our mediator, who has made an atonement for us. And the greatest desire of his heart is to help us that we might overcome and endure to the end and go and live with him and his Father. That's a desire of him. And you and I can lay hold of that promise. Or we can just put it on the shelf and say, well, you know, I think later on if I need it, I'll come back to it. You need it now. Don't ever think that later on you'll come back to it. This is the day that you take up your cross. This is the day that we need to go follow the Lord. We don't dare to wait until tomorrow. No. That little sister that passed away yesterday, young. But I'm sure she thought she had lots of days in front of her. But yesterday was her day that the Lord called her home. What did she do through her probation? The scripture says we come back to stand before Christ in the spirit that we left in. Where are we? Where are you? You're the only one that can ask you, where are you? Where am I? Am I preparing myself that if something happens, that I'm ready to go? Am I preparing myself that if I have an opportunity to witness for Christ, I can? To tell anybody why I have the hope which is within me with meekness and fear? In such a way that they can understand and know you believe and know what you're telling them is the truth. Because of your witness, because of your experiences, because of the things that you have, that you know. Oh, that doesn't mean that you know all things. The scripture says we don't know all things. But we know and we can read in the Holy Scriptures all things that's essential for our soul's welfare. They're there. He has sufficiently taught it so that we can find the repentance, the faith, the baptism, the laying on of hands, the walking each day, following him, follow thou me and do the things you see me do. The scriptures are sufficient to instruct us the way that's essential to save our soul. Don't ever forget that. That's why he has preserved them for us. That's like if a mother come along and picked up a child and just whipped it and whipped it and whipped it and then set it in a chair like that and never said what she whipped it for. Why would the Lord take us home and judge us if we didn't know and didn't have a right to know what he required? And it's the Lord that says, these things which I teach are not of me, but the Father, which sent me. That he was teaching what his Father told him to teach you and I and those that went before us and those that will be after us. He's the one. He's the one. He's the one that when you study it, and they were talking about there in Phoenix there in the Sunday school class, you know, about the altar and the sacrifice and everything. Well, Christ was the sacrifice. And you can bet everything and take it to the bank that he was without blemish. He was pure and whole. And he gave his life for you and I. Pure and whole. I want to go to Romans, the 8th chapter. And there in the 8th chapter of Romans, I'm going to read the 34th verse first. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Wow. He maketh intercession for us. Can you think of another that you'd like to have make the intercession for you? You know, the scriptures tells us that he loves us so much. Let's look at it. He tells us that we can bless little children and there's an angel set in charge, an angel. How true that is, I've experienced it. He tells us they're sick among you. Call for the elders. He has gone out of his way to try to save us. He has gone out of his way trying to prepare us for his kingdom. And you know, sometimes it seems like he hasn't done enough because we're like an old horse sometimes that takes a bit in his mouth and pulls around and just runs away. And you know, sometimes we decide what we're going to do, and boy, we're going to do it whether the Lord thinks it's that right or not, or whether the scripture says it's right or not. We're going to do it because we've decided to. And sometimes that's how we live our life. And you know, when we're doing that, we're skating on thin ice. Because when we're doing those kind of things and rebelling against his gospel and against those things, If he decides to take you home, then where are you? If you come back in the same spirit that you left, do we want to take that chance? How important is it to apply the gospel of Christ to our life? How important is it to us to see to it that that we live that life according as he has directed? I want to go over to page 145 in the Book of Mormon. That's the 11th chapter of the second book of Nephi. And I'm going to read, the 77th verse, I think, for brevity's sake. No, I'm going to start in the 71st verse. For I, Nephi, have seen it, and it well nigh consumeth me before the presence of the Lord, but I must cry unto my God, thy ways are just. But behold, the righteous that hearken unto the words of the prophets and destroy them not, but look forward unto Christ with steadfastness, for the signs which are given, notwithstanding all persecutions, behold, they are they which shall not perish. But the Son of Righteousness shall appear unto them, and he shall heal them, and they shall have peace with him until the three generations shall have passed away, and many of the fourth generation shall have passed away in righteousness. Now that's after he comes, he's telling them. And when we read the scriptures, that's what happened. There was three generations of them that lived in all things common, and then finally in the fourth generation they fell. They had begun to separate themselves from God. They began to hold fast, to thinking, well, you know, I'm better than you are because I got 30 cents in my pocket and you only got 15. They began to separate themselves and set them up as one being better than the other. And you know, when it comes right down to it, we're not any better than anybody else. It doesn't make any difference who it is. We have a soul, ours, that needs to be worked on so that we can go live with Christ and God the Father. And they do. Your problems might be different than their problems. But each one of us, we're here to work out our salvation. That means it's not all peaches and cream. That means it's not all just going to, oh boy, just go just right down the line and no problems or anything like that. That's not so. We're going to work them out through Christ and by Christ. That means that we have to call upon him and seek his direction and seek the things that we need to do so that we can walk justly with him. That's what that means. That doesn't mean that we can just go along and everything's fine. Let's go on here. And when these things shall have passed away, a speedy destruction cometh upon my people. For notwithstanding the pains of my soul, I have seen it. Wherefore, I know that it shall come to pass. He saw that the Nephites was going to turn away from the Lord, his people. And they sell themselves for naught, for the reward of their pride and their foolishness, they shall reap destruction. For because ye yield, because they yield unto the devil, and chose works of darkness rather than light, therefore they must go down to hell, for the Spirit of the Lord did not always strive with man. And when the Spirit ceased to strive with man, then cometh speedily destruction. This grieveth my soul. You know, that's something for us to think about. It's important that we realize if we keep rejecting the Lord and turning away and thumbing our nose at him, that his Spirit isn't going to always strive with us. And when we're that way, you know, we can have people pray for us, and they'll pray for us, and we ask the Lord, you know, send the Spirit to them. But the Lord didn't hear my prayer because they didn't change a bit. You know something with our own free agency? When you ask with a sincere heart for the Lord to send the Spirit there, He sends it. But don't forget that they have a right to reject it. They have a right not to receive it. That's important for you to remember. It's not necessarily that the Lord didn't hear your prayer, but it is that they didn't want to receive it because it was going to put a crink in their style. We have to remember that they have the right to make a choice. You have a right to make a choice. And He's not going to force you. He's not going to force you. I want to read another poem from my son Ed. I want you to listen to it. It's about the path. It's about the path that we need to follow. It's titled, What Path? He says, what path is it you're walking? Now, you're the only one that can answer this for you. Is it the one you should trod? Is it always leading upward unto God? Or do you serve another whose pathways are always down until within His darkness you are finally bound? Escape does not come easy. So open up your eyes. For one is always truthful, but the other always lies. Also be obedient and know He loves you true. For if you fail to do so, the other waits for you. Remember now, my brethren, and lean on Him today. Build on His foundation, and safe you will stay. That's what we need to do, is to build on that foundation, so safe that we would stay. We need to recognize that our path must be continually up and not down. Our choice that we're choosing. I want to turn over in the Book of Mormon. Oh, I think on page 718. That's the Book of Ether. Excuse, 718. First chapter. And there I want to read the 41st and the 42nd verses. And the Lord said unto him, I will forgive thee and thy brethren of their sin. But thou shalt not sin any more. For ye shall remember that my Spirit will not always strive with man. Wherefore, if ye will sin until ye are fully ripe, ye shall be cut off from the presence of the Lord. And these are my thoughts upon the land which I shall give you for your inheritance, for it shall be a land choice above all other lands. It's not something that we go and we say, Lord, forgive me. And oh, I went out and got drunk last night. But of course, I'm going to do it again tonight. So when I get home, if I make it all right, why, I'll pray again, you know, forgive me. You know, when you ask forgiveness, when you repent, it means that you're sorry that you did it. You're remorseful. You don't want to have that in your life. You want to change it. You want to put it out of your life. You don't want to have to keep doing the same thing time after time after time after time. Or be like my dad preached one time on prayer, and he says, you know, a lot of people, the way they go about it, says you might just as well write your prayer and stick it up on the wall and go jump in bed and say, there it is, Lord. That's not good enough. The scriptures tells us if we're not sincere, it's like we didn't even offer the prayer. That we really need to be sincere when we ask the Lord to help us to rid the sin in our life and recognize that He indeed is the potter and He needs to mold this clay by His Holy Spirit to pluck the hardness from it and to mold it that it is the vessel of righteousness and of beauty. That's what we need. I want to go to the 8th chapter of Romans. Read the 24th and the 20 through the 28th verse. He says, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for what man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see, not then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise," I want you, brothers and sisters, I want you to listen real close to these next scriptures if you're not following me along. Because it has to do with you and me today, this very moment, and this very hour. "Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Can you imagine that? He loves you so much that He'll even make intercession in the groaning to help us. "And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Did you ever feel like, did you ever realize that He's making intercession for you? That He's praying for you? That He's a mediator for you? That He's an advocate for you? That He's doing everything He can to save us? Everything He can to save us. Other than the fact that He gave us our own free agency where we can even rebel against Him. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." That all things are for Him and for these things. How important that is. So, you know, I want us to realize that Satan desires to have us. To sift us as wheat. I want us to realize that the Lord is praying for us. And He makes intercessions for us. That He has a desire to save our soul. He has a desire to be able to say for you and for me that, enter ye in, ye faithful servant. For you daily took up your cross and followed me. You trust me. You visited with me. You allowed my spirit to direct your heart and your mind. And how important that is. I know my time's gone, and so I'm gonna read a poem that my son wrote. We found a whole bunch of them. This one, he wrote one time when I was preaching back in 83. And after I was through preaching, he come up and handed it to me. I'm going to read it to you now. It's called The Load. When the load is heavy and the road wears on, lift up your heart and your head and pray with a song. When the burden seems more than you can bear, call unto God who hears every prayer. In faith believing, he'll answer your plea. Just humble yourself and fall on your knees. Then praise him by day and praise him by night, and live by his word in others' sight. For this is important, that always we do, that others might see that we love God too. And that's what we want. We want the world to know that we love God too. We want the world to know that indeed we believe that he makes intercessions for us, and that he is our advocate, that he is the one that helps us. Because of ourselves, we can't do it. Of ourselves, we can't do it. And you know, we can go press weights and be so strong. Might be the strongest guy in the world pressing weights. That don't get you in the kingdom of heaven. That won't make it. It's how we live our life according to Christ. It's not enough to know, but it's to live it. That's why he says, follow thou me and do the things you see me do. And remember that Satan desires to have us, but the Lord is praying for us that we might overcome and endure to the end.
What? All right. Okay.